the Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat, mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. The readings for this Sunday are well coordinated. If you begin with the epistle to the Corinthians, you have the warning from St. Paul, the time is running out. Those of us who are of a certain vintage feel that. How many times have some of us said, "Where has the time gone?" And it goes very quickly. And I'll let you in on a secret, it goes even more quickly. Young people have the luxury of being bored. Secondly, it says here, in a rather dramatic way, let those having wives act as having none of them. Now, a number of you men already do that, and that's not very good. But it's a dramatic way, kind of a what you might call Semitic hyperbole, an exaggerated way of trying to say, look, something's really different now. Don't you see it? Are you paying attention? Sometimes when I'm teaching at USC, I'll say something just absolutely absurd to see if anybody hears it. Life sucks and you're all gonna die. Nada. So it says here, pay attention. Time is running out. You go to the Gospel from Mark. We're going to have selections from the Gospel of Mark till Ash Wednesday. Notice it starts out, this may be a little curious. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, began his public ministry. Why add this little phrase? For two reasons. John, as it were, moves off the stage, and Jesus assumes it. And second, the translation is not really very good. Had been arrested. Literally, you could say, after John had been handed over. And this gives you a much clearer sense that this is what's going to happen to Jesus too. So right at the outset of the gospel, you're being told, and Jesus too will follow in the footsteps of John, and he too will be handed over. And it goes along, and he says, this is the time. It's the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand, meaning right now. Let's repent and let's really believe in the gospel. Now, you see, I always get aggravated by these stories of calls. I like Jonah, but I don't like these because the response is immediate and I can never match that. I'm much more like St. Augustine, who said in his Confessions, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." He said that. So here you have this call. They immediately fall. Even the sons of Zebedee, John and James, they leave their father in the boat. I mean, that's nice. They go immediately. Now, the truth of the matter is, when you read the Gospels as a whole, you'll see they struggle and they don't get it. And especially in the Gospel of Mark, it's like they're so dumb. So the pressure's off for a while. But then when you go to the first reading, you have the story of Jonah. What do you remember about Jonah? What do most of you remember? Being in the stinking belly of that whale. Those of you who've been to the cathedral and you see where they have the various animals, one of them is a simile, an example of the Jonah the whale, and it's got a big mouth that's wide open. And if you bend down and crawl into it, as children are encouraged to do, you see at the roof of the mouth it says, Jonah was here. It's like he left it written in there. That's what we remember. This is chapter 3. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It should say, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The first time he said, take a hike. I'm not doing it. And if you remember, he ran away, got on a boat. He didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach to these pagans. He didn't like the pagans. He hated the pagans. He was a Jew. He wanted to, if he's going to preach to anybody, I better preach to my fellow Jews. So you can understand why he says this. Now, he was a good-hearted guy. When a storm came up and all the others had thought that everything was going to go bad, Jonah volunteered, throw me overboard, it'll help. So he had a bit of a heart. And it's here where we pick up with the new study. He says, Jesus, or God calls him, set out for the great city of Nineveh, which I've already told you about. Now, this time, I want you to do it and announce the message that I will tell you 40 days and if you don't repent, I'll destroy the city. Think of the poor people of Hawaii. Get the false alarm. Imagine what that, I wonder how many people made promises to become priests. If we'll see if only you'd save me from this. It's not funny, really. So he says he proclaimed a fast, they put on sackcloth and so on, and they repented. And you know what? Jonah was angry. He was angry that they repented. He didn't want the pagans to repent. You might, this is all in this reading that it really makes it rather fascinating. It's like somebody you can't stand actually coming into good fortune. I know you've never had that feeling, right? You say, why are they, man, I need, however you do it. So all this success to me, when you look at the apostles who respond immediately, you hear the warning. Whom do we identify with? Jonah. We're the ones that procrastinate. So I'm going to say something about procrastination. I want to say something about letting go. And I want to say something about thinking big. So first, procrastination. Mañana, tomorrow. Let me put it off. I'll get to it. One of the things I notice about USC students, I'm sure that any of your kids or grandkids are there, that this doesn't apply to them. But I teach a course. One of the courses I teach is at 8:30 a.m. on Monday. I do this because I want only the committed. However, students typically introduce every weekend a 3-hour jet lag. They stay up much later, they get up much later, and then they think they can come right back on Monday morning and be in the rhythm. They're not. They usually procrastinate on homework, too, until late Sunday. We all procrastinate. How many of you have followed through on your New Year's resolutions? I wasn't going to bring this up. We tend not to really follow through. Jonah waited, he procrastinated, he held back, he didn't do what he needed to do. Second, one of the things that makes us procrastinate is we can't let go. I don't know if you're like this, but I received a frantic email from a woman back in Ohio whom I've known for years, and she says, I'm just going nuts, I can't do all this stuff. And I wrote back and I said, why are you doing all this stuff? Remember in Oklahoma, I'm just a girl who can't say no. Well, this is a person that should learn. Especially letting go of things that are superfluous, that you don't need. Quit worrying about Tom Brady's thumb. Letting go is a great experience of release. Some of us harbor resentments forever. Let it go. It's like, I like the saying that harboring a resentment is like letting someone live in your head rent-free. Let it go. Make up. Apologize. Rebuild the bridge. James and John let it go. The boat, their father, they moved on. Third and finally, thinking big. I don't want you to fish fish. I want you to fish men. I want you to raise your sights. If there's anything that keeps me going, it's the immense, what I feel is the immense privilege of life. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is risen from the dead. I believe Jesus is an embodied form of mercy. I believe Jesus is a person of surprises, like the Pope marrying a couple on a plane. Did they go through Cana? Did they check this out? No, he married them. He knew that was at the core, and it would inspire people to do the same. This is a great privilege. Life is a romp, really. Now, some of us may be suffering, some of us may be dealing with some long-term things that are very difficult and may only get worse. That's life. In the midst of all that, let's respond. Now is the time. Let's be grateful. The Lord Jesus is there. There is forgiveness. We're not alone. The Eucharist is present to give us strength. That's good news. I believe in it. We believe in it. Amen. You know that we have a special treat in the coming days here at this parish with a kind of rejuvenation of faith. Now is the time, and I would like to invite our leader, Jesse, to say a few words.
Good morning. I know a lot of times when people see me for the first time, they're shocked. They think, oh my gosh, it's Frank Sinatra. A festival of faith. Listening to Father Jim, I was just hanging on every word, thinking, what more could I possibly say? So I'm just going to say, we'll see. Okay. When somebody asks you the question, who's the church? You say, we are. Who's the church? Come on now, who's the church? When someone asks, where is the church? You say, right here. Where is the church?
Right here.
When someone says, and, you shout, everywhere. And?
Everywhere.
All right, be on your toes now. Who's the church?
Yeah.
Where is the church?
Right here.
And?
Everywhere.
What do cows drink?
Yeah.
Water, but thanks for trying. We were listening. We were listening. We were paying attention. But that stuff of life, it can just derail us. That automatic pilot, those things that just catch our attention. And before we know it, we're in a whale. Now, I like sushi, but that's ridiculous. So that we have this festival of faith, just another brief moment to renew, to recall what it means to be called and how we might respond in big picture ways, how we might attend to the great gift of life that can be so fleeting, so fleeting. My nephew Nathan said, "Uncle Jesse, is it true you're going to be 59? And I said, "Yes, I'm going to be 59. And I thought he was going to say, "You look so good." And I would have responded, "That's because I exercise." But I said, "Yeah, what do you think about that? I'm turning 59. And Nathan said, "My goodness, you're almost dead." I said, "So are you if you keep that up." But come to Festival of Faith and be renewed. The image of God, God's presence everywhere, in the best of times and the toughest of times. Repeat after me. Everywhere I go, I see you. That's the cue, because I'm not like a cantor who can do this, because I'm doing this. So here's the cue. When I look at you like this, that means either sing or throw me an Oreo. I don't know. Here we go. Everywhere I go, I see you. 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 So come to Festival of Faith Monday through Wednesday, 9 o'clock in the morning if you can make that, or 6 o'clock in the evening. And may the Festival of Faith be a moment where we can open our eyes and our hearts and our ears as we hear the Lord calling us to hear, come, follow. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear your voice. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear. Open my ears, Lord. Open my ears. Help me to hear your voice. Help me to hear. Lord, open my ears. Open my ears. Help me to hear. Help me to hear. Who's the church? Where's the church? And what do cows drink? The miracle is happening. God bless you. We'll see you through the week.
Amen, Jesse. Amen.
The two closest things to God are love and music. So be moved in these coming days.